Today, I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your spirit, so that we may be people who mature in the life of faith as we show your love for one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, I'll focus on three things from the reading. The first is that love, that real love, comes from God because God is love. Secondly, we'll see from the text that God's love is shown most clearly for us in the death of Christ, in his atoning sacrifice for our sins. And the third focus point, that our love for one another is wholly dependent on God's love for us. So let's go straight to the first point. Real love comes from God because God is love. This is how our reading begins. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, the very first word we have here is beloved. Beloved of God, of course, also beloved of John, who's writing the letter. Right through this letter is the bringing together of God's love for us and our love for one another. And that these two loves, the love of God and the love that we have as brothers and sisters, are the one love that can't be separated. So when St. John writes, beloved, he's saying they are indeed beloved of God, but also beloved of him, the one who is writing. St. Paul, by the way, also writes this way. It's a strong theme in the Christian community, our love for one another. Well, after this, our letter begins with an exhortation, an encouragement for us to love one another. Now, the love that St. John is talking about is not the love that we have for our football team or for ice cream or for our country or even for our spouse. It's a sort of love that simply looks for the good of the other and is willing to suffer for those in need, even when they can't or won't do us any good in return. More than this, God is good and he helps those who don't deserve it. As Jesus says, go back to the Sermon on the Mount and you'll read this, God makes the sun to rise on the righteous and the unrighteous, and the rain to fall on the good and the evil. His willingness to help others, regardless of their deserving help, and regardless of their ability to pay us back, this is the mature sort of love that St. John is talking about, and the love that we are growing in for one another here at Bethlehem. This brings us to the second point. God's love for us is shown most of all in the gift of his Son to die for us. Listen to what the reading says. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So if we were to get a picture in our minds of what mature love looks like, of what God's love looks like, it's good for us to meditate on Christ's suffering and death for us, on the fact that God sent him as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That he paid the debt that we can't pay. That he washed us clean when we can't wash ourselves. That he gave us peace in exchange for our sin. And that he did this, as St. Paul says in Romans, even while we were hostile to him. This is at the heart, of course, of the gospel, of the proclamation of Jesus. And it's in meditating on this that we ourselves grow in the sort of love that we can share with one another. Now, there's something very practical about this teaching. something that can give us an experience of the real God. Listen to what the Word of God says. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. Okay, this teaching is practical in this way. We can't see God. The text says that, and that's no surprise to anyone. God is a spirit. We cannot see God. But what we can see is one another, and the sort of love that grows in us by the grace of God, and that we are free to show one another. In fact, St. John says that this love, God's love, is perfected in us as we love one another. And to think of perfection in this sense, think of an acorn growing into an oak tree. It reaches its maturity. It reaches its goal. So God's love in us reaches its goal, leads us in maturity, as we show this love for one another, as we care for one another, not because we deserve it, but because God is good. That we share love with one another, not because we can pay each other back, but because God is generous. This is very practical teaching. Now, more than this, St. John says, as we love one another, as we are kind and generous and considerate of each other, we are confirmed or strengthened in our life of faith. This is what St. John writes. By this we know that we abide in him, or remain in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Saviour of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. Now, one way to think about this is that St. John says our faith is confirmed and strengthened as we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord, that he came in the flesh to save us. But also our faith grows and is matured as we show love for one another. So, practically speaking, do you want to be confirmed or strengthened in your life of faith? Would you like this to happen in your life? If you'd like this to happen, then meditate on what God has done for you and show love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't worry about whether they deserve it. Don't worry about whether they can pay you back. And indeed, show this love to all people, because God is love. And our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to be perfect, to mature, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. More than this, as we love one another, we move from being afraid of God to being joyful in his presence. This is what St. John writes. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us, has reached its goal among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not yet reached perfection in love. Okay, fear has to do with punishment. Perfect love drives out fear. That's what today's text says. But you might be familiar with some famous verses from the Old Testament. For example, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. That's in Proverbs. Or how about this? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. That's from Psalm 111. But our reading today says perfect love casts out fear. So what's going on? How do we fit these teachings of Scripture together? Well, I'll give an illustration which I think can help us understand what the Scriptures are talking about. Let's say a young person gets a job in retail, and they're in charge of the till, in charge of the transactions. Every time they open the till, they see a lot of money sitting there. More money than they ever deal with in their day-to-day life. What are they going to be tempted to do? They're going to be tempted to take the money from the till and put it in their pocket to steal. It's a normal human temptation. Let's say, though, they are afraid of getting caught. They're afraid of being shamed because they steal. They're afraid maybe even of being fired and charged. And maybe if they're this way inclined, they're afraid also of God punishing them for stealing. Well, the scriptures would say that's a good start. It's a great start. It's better than the folly of being a thief. That's foolishness. So, fear of the Lord is a great start. If you don't do something simply because you're afraid of God, well, go for it. But it's not very mature, is it? It's not complete as a human action. We want young people to refrain from stealing, not simply because they're afraid of being caught, but because they grow in due consideration for their fellow human beings. Because they see that society is built up as we learn to trust one another and respect each other's property. We want young people to grow, in other words, in love and in respecting people's property even when they can't see any return for themselves, or even respect the property of people who don't deserve to have their property respected, you could say. God's love works this way. It's good. It's generous. It builds up the human community. And God wants to move us from fear to love, which drives out fear. Indeed, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a good start. But God wills to grow us in a mature love where we reach our goal as human beings, as God's Spirit works in us, confirming us in faith and leading us to come into God's presence boldly and with joy. This brings us to our third and final point. Our love for one another is entirely dependent on God's love for us. This, in fact, is what St. John writes. We love because he first loved us. It's God, the Word of God says, who took the initiative. And it's God who shows us what real love looks like. And it's only in response to this that we can partake in this real love for one another. St. John draws very practical conclusions from this teaching. This is what he writes. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. And we think, of course, when we hear in the writing of John and the love of God and the command of Jesus on the night on which he was betrayed, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. We can't see God, we can see each other. And our faith is confirmed and strengthened as we show the generous love of God to one another. But we also remember what Jesus instituted, what new command he gave on the night on which he was betrayed. We remember that he took bread and gave thanks, that he took a cup and gave thanks and said, eat, drink, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. Here we are in the church today, together as one body of Christ. And we understand that at the centre of our life together is God's love for us, a forgiving love that does not give us what we deserve or does not give according to what it can get back, but gives from goodness and in generosity. God, our Lord Jesus Christ, gives us the command to celebrate the Lord's Supper so that we may not refrain from meeting together, but come together into each other's presence. Because how can we see each other unless we are together? How can we grow in love for each other unless we are in each other's presence with all the difficulties that this brings? How can we move from fear and from judgment to joy and boldness unless we first receive what God has given us in Christ Jesus and then from that share with one another? Brothers and sisters, Beloved, God is love. So let us love one another to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.